This episode of the Android Central podcast is brought to you by Braintree. If you're working on a mobile app and are searching for the right payments API, check out the Braintree V.0 SDK. With one simple integration, your customers get every way to pay. To learn more and to try out the sandbox, go to braintreepayments.com/androidcentral. Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central podcast. It is episode number 250. I'm excited. It's 250. Nobody else is excited. I'm excited.
We're trying to recover from that.
I'm going
to
talk the rest of the time just like this. Excited. For Friday, August 21st, 2015. Welcome to the show. I'm Phil Dickinson. A very excited Phil Dickinson. We have kind of a crazy show going on this week, actually. We brought in a special guest, Blaze, Chris Parsons. Do you actually pronounce it Blaze? You got like a numeral in there. I forget how the kids do it now.
Yeah, it's Blaze.
Okay.
Basically, it's a play on my son's name.
Oh, really? I knew that. Yeah.
I just stuck the one in there because, you know, I like to be different.
Everybody knows Blaze. You were probably one of the first names I knew here. All those many
and
years
oddly,
ago.
Oddly.
We've never met.
We haven't actually met.
I know. We will have to fix that one day, but I'm not coming to Canada.
I will come to Florida. Gladly.
So we got Chris here to
talk about it.
Yeah. We got Chris here to talk the new BlackBerry Venice. We will get to that here in a minute. We got Russell Holly here, of course.
Yay.
Yay. And Jerry Hildenbrand.
Boo.
Yay. Yay. Gave Alex and Andrew the day off because they're both working their butts off, which is a good thing. So, yeah, we've got the BlackBerry Venice to talk about. Chris did a nice kind of wrap-up of what all is going on there. We're going to talk Android 6.0 Marshmallow. Marshmallow? How do you guys say it? Do you say mellow or mallow like you're supposed to?
Mellow.
Marshmallow.
I haven't misspelled it yet. We got to think of something to do to the first person who misspells it in a headline. We'll come up with something. We got that. We got updates to Android Wear. I have the Note 5, so I'll talk about it this week instead of Andrew, I guess. What else? I thought I had one other thing I wanted to talk about, but I don't remember. I forgot already. Must not have been important. Was it important? No, maybe not. All right. Well, before we do that, I kind of got into the habit. By the way, we do this every week live. Once a week. Sometimes more, sometimes less, but always once a week.
Oh, Android Wear update.
I said that.
Yeah. Oh, well then I don't know. I'll keep looking.
I wonder what it is. I'll have to keep talking like this till I figure it out. I kind of like enjoy doing the voicemails up top now. What do you guys think?
I'm down. Last week was really good.
I hate that we've always done them in at the end and then they kind of get short shrift. So I figure people are taking enough time out of their day to actually send us questions. And they're always, almost always, usually, sometimes they're good questions. They're always good questions. I don't want to like rush them at the end. So let's just do them real quick. Chris, can you sit through this? We're good.
All good here.
Awesome. All right. Well, let's start with who is this? This is Skip. So let's start with Skip.
Hi guys, my name is Skip. I purchased three different second generation Moto G's. Two of them on Amazon, two different sellers, and the third one is an international version. Purchased directly from Motorola. All three of the phones are having problems where they're freezing up, apps are crashing, those types of issues. My wife, daughter, and mother-in-law all have Facebook and other similar apps, Line, things that are constantly pinging, things that are constantly looking at what you're doing on the phone, and I'm wondering if that might be causing the issues. I know there's a third generation Moto G coming out. I was wondering if maybe that may be an idea or a way for fixing the problem. Maybe the new phones will have, because of the different chipset, because of the different memory capabilities, maybe those problems could be alleviated. Do you have an opinion or any advice? Thanks for all that you do, guys, and have a great day.
So that's one of those, I've had a few people ask us about that. They're like, hey, you know, I had a problem with the Moto Gs previously, and Skip's far from the only one. I mean, I haven't really had much to add to that just because I've had no problems with this one. I mean, what about you guys? Or is this just one of those things where, like, people have problems, it happens, and we, as loud as we may be in our publishing sense, just aren't representative of the whole
So the number one worst thing you can do to a phone that doesn't have a whole lot in the way of resources is put Facebook Messenger on it. It's just a resource hog in every single capacity. There's no getting around it. But yeah, I mean, this is what we talk about when we say that these phones aren't doing the same thing as a Galaxy S6 or an LG G4. They're not as capable. And when you use them for, you know, a couple of months and you bog them down with your apps and your data, this is the kind of thing that can happen depending on what kind of user you are.
Exactly. That's what I've said about the third generation several times, that I think it runs really great now and I love the phone. But let's look at it again in a month or two after I've just used it every day and see what it can do and what it can't. Because when you turn it on, as Russell mentioned, it's not doing much. You have to add to it to get it to do anything. So maybe your wife and your daughter have just added more to it than it can handle. I mean, I that sounds horrible, but
I was going
to
say you're blaming the user, dude.
No. I'm not trying to blame the user. I mean, it's a really good $200 phone. This year's phone, I think, is even better, but it's still a $200 phone, and it's not going to be able to do everything all at once.
I've had to. I don't think we talked about this yet, but I've already had to wipe my G4.
Yeah.
Which is probably more indicative of LG's software than anything. But, yeah, I mean, this is one of those times when I think the forums really come in handy. Because
right.
You have the multitude of people there that's just far beyond the five of us. And we'll talk about this more in a minute. Wow, my hair is really freaking me out here. Whee! I got a haircut today, so it's kind of messed up. Radio people are like, what?
Oh, I can't stop looking.
I know, see? Look at my hair. It's very exciting.
I want to pet it.
I think the other thing is just like general maintenance as well. I mean, he said that his wife and daughter are using the phones, and who knows how many apps that they're downloading and loading up onto there and possibly not even ever actually using.
I'm surprised my Nexus 7 that my 9-year-old daughter is using just hasn't burst into flames. Every time I pick it up, there's so much crap on there. I'm like, what? What? Oh, my God. What did you do to that? I'm real close to just taking it back on principle.
I hope she's got cookie jam loaded on there. You
she
got
has on that. She has so much stuff on there. It's not good at all. Oy. Yeah, I mean, get in the forums and ask him, right? That's kind of my...
Because, I mean, as horrible as this is to say, we don't have time to troubleshoot that kind of stuff. If I'm looking at one phone in particular to see if I can make it run slow, that's one thing. But if I grab something like Phil mentioned, the G4, and it's not working well enough, I don't have time to find out why. I just reset and go on to the next.
Yeah. All right. Good question, though. But, I mean, definitely ask around on the forums, too, for more people who are using these things more than we are, just because we have to bounce around a good little bit. Next question comes from Mahdi. I knew it started with an M. I just couldn't see the rest of it. I'm getting old. Here it comes.
Hey guys, love the podcast. Been listening for about a year or so. I had a stupid question comment. Whenever you guys do a review, or whenever really anyone does a review, or whenever they see the product information for a new phone that's coming out, a new Android phone, they always write something about the SD slot. People go crazy when it says more than 128. That was one phone a while ago. It said 2 terabytes, and everybody went crazy. And some say 32, and people say, how come it's not 64? Every single phone that accepts micro SD, as far as I know, every single Android phone can take up to 2 terabytes. SDXE is a standard that goes up to 2 terabytes, so it can take up to 2 terabytes. The numbers are meaningless, aren't they? Unless I'm missing something. Anyway, love the show, love the site, love all you guys.
Oh. Yeah, I mean... That's kind of just one of those specs they're throwing out there to one-up each other, right? Right?
No. Mostly. I mean, SDXC is a different standard than SD. That's the first thing. If they say SDXC, then in theory, yeah, it can support the memory limit of the file system you've put on it.
And then you have, you know, the other side of that equation, the Moto G, I think they said on paper, takes up to 32. I put a 128 in there, and it worked fine.
Yep, I can't get an answer on that either. Nobody wants to tell me Is it an XDXC slot? Is it an SD slot? What's going on there? Nobody has an answer.
The software exec I sat down with said, look, you can put something bigger in there. It sounds like it's possible for there to be some wonk if you do, and I don't know what kind of wonk.
Well, I mean, that gets into like music and video files, where indexing 2 terabytes of data for something like that. Good luck getting your phone to do that and not melt it down at all, or slow down. And it's so we're probably talking about software optimization here. We're probably talking about maximum capability for maintaining the list of what's on that file or what's on that drive in RAM. There's probably a couple things that go into that, but yeah, we don't have a clear answer, but it's, you can put a 2 terabyte drive in some of these machines, but best of luck actually using it and enjoying the experience.
I was able to monkey around with an old HTC phone and get it to recognize a USB CD drive. It was not very useful. I mean, it knew there were files there. I really think that, like, let's say Motorola, they tested it with a 32-gigabyte card, and it worked well. They thought it worked well with a 32, but like Phil said, maybe they weren't happy with some of the performance on the 64, and I think that goes back to Russell's indexing. I stopped using 128-gigabyte cards just because of that. You reboot or you pull the card out and put it back in, and it has to rescan it. It just takes forever, too long. So, I mean, that could be part of it.
And now that Google's leaning back towards SD cards for stuff, and the way that they're leaning back towards SD cards for stuff, that's going to become more important.
Yep.
As we move into this weird Android 6.0 world where SD cards are almost treated like natively part of the operating system. The way that stuff gets indexed and used is going to be really important, and the speed of the card is going to be really important. We actually have kind of an interesting challenge ahead of us as far as that goes.
I just have to say that I'm utterly fascinated that anybody would even want to use like a 2 terabyte SD card on their device. Like, how much do you have to store, really? I know there are people out there that would do that.
Look, but sometimes I don't want to leave my house without all 9 seasons of the X-Files. and you shouldn't judge me for that.
I've always said when somebody makes a 3 terabyte SD card, I'm buying it. Because that's my music collection, my FLAC files.
Yeah.
It's just right under 3 terabytes. And if I could carry all of that everywhere, I'd be some sort of nerd something.
I've used a 64 gigabyte SD card for as long as I can remember, and I've never come close to fiddling it up.
I finally just bought a new one for my camera because I know I probably had just lost one, or maybe I think I had one where the write protection tab just broke and wouldn't stay where it needed to be. So I just picked up whatever I had laying around in my bag, and I realized it was like a class 4 or something, and I could really tell as I'm saving raw files. I think it's the first time I've really run into that. But it was kind of interesting. Good question.
Yep.
One more, and it is from Missy, a woman, finally! Thank you. I knew you were out there.
Hey guys, this is Missy in Ohio. I was just hoping to get your opinion on what kind of tablet I should get. I had a Nexus 9, did the update, and now it's stuck in a boot loop, and Best Buy gave me store credit, so now I have to decide on getting another Nexus 9, which is now clearanced, or something else. So if you guys have any recommendations, I'd greatly appreciate it. Especially if you know of any great tablets coming out, I can definitely hold out for one. Thank you.
I mean, you kind of can't go wrong with the new Samsung stuff, right? But I would almost say get a Nexus 9 and then use whatever money you have left over on something cool.
If I were going to recommend a tablet right now, I would have to say a Nexus 9, but if the little birds that I hear whispers from are correct, save it till October. And I normally never say that. But there's supposed to be some really amazing monetary deals on some stuff we love coming, right around the beginning of November, end of October.
Are you saying new tablet or are you saying cheaper tablet?
No, I'm saying a tablet we all love, just super ass cheap, along with a bundle of a bunch of cool stuff.
Fair enough.
I am still mostly really happy with this Asus tablet. The ZenPad, the screen on it is super nice. The speakers on it are super nice. It's $300. I don't know if Best Buy's carrying it, so this might be entirely pointless for Missy. But yeah, I mean, the Nexus 9 is still a really solid tablet, and if you can get it on some kind of clearance deal through Best Buy, then I guess more power to you.
Does Best Buy have the Dell? Yeah, they do. $400.
And they have changed. If you look through the script, if you install M, the preview, on your Nexus 9 with a Mac, they've changed a little bit of the way the script works. So your boot loops, and I know they're a real thing. We hear enough people that are running into that issue when they update. Hopefully that's going to stop with the next version of the operating system. And isn't it about time that they make it stop?
Yes. Cool. Good question. All right, let's move on. We got Blaze here. We want to talk BlackBerry because we've talked about this off and on a few times, the BlackBerry Venice. Now, I was thinking about this. All joking aside, is it a BlackBerry-powered Android or an Android-powered BlackBerry?
It's a very good question, and one that I pretty much had to ask myself, and along with what makes a BlackBerry.
Right.
So...
Back us up. Remind me, like, what kind of hardware are we talking here?
If we're looking at hardware, I believe it was a 3 gigabytes of RAM, a Snapdragon 808 processor.
So, I mean, current stuff, right? And yeah, the slider keyboard?
In BlackBerry terms, it would be really current stuff. It would be, like, probably the most current device that they ever put out in terms of specs. You know, aside from the BlackBerry Passport, which was running a Snapdragon 801. So if all of that stuff turns out to be real and legit, it, you know, hardware-wise, it'll probably be one of the best BlackBerry devices that they ever put out, spec-wise. 18 megapixel camera, I believe, is what was listed on there. Again, that's all just rumors and speculation at this point, but in terms of hardware, it would be, yeah, one of the best BlackBerry devices ever put out.
Does the screen slide, or does the body have... Because there's a keyboard under there, right?
Yeah, so from everything that we know, when they showed it off at Mobile World Congress, they just gave us a really quick glimpse of it, and you know, it's really debatable at this point whether or not that was actually even finalized hardware of any sort, or if it was just a mock-up. But, so... What basically happens is you slide the screen up or slide the keyboard down, whichever way you want to go ahead and put it. It's like one of the old BlackBerry Torch devices. I'm pretty sure Jerry may be familiar with one of those. You basically just slide the display upward, and then it's on the mechanism, and then the keyboard reveals itself at the bottom. And you know, that has worked for them before in some capacity.
I think I guess. Probably the keyboard is what's sliding out. There's more chassis, at least on the Torch.
Yeah.
There's more chassis that doesn't move. But the way you do it, it feels like the screen slides up.
So. Yeah, exactly. I mean, how it actually happens, I'm not entirely too sure. But that's the way that it feels. It feels like you're sliding the screen up. From everything which we've seen thus far, you would presumably slide the screen up.
And I'll tell you, it's a nice form factor.
Yeah.
The Torch had a little bit, at least the one I had some issues with build quality. It was a little wobbly. Not you know, Palm Pre bad, but bad. If they've got that squared away, this could be a really nice option for people like me who still would love to have a little keyboard at the bottom.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to the keyboard and stuff like that, you can't beat BlackBerry on the actual keyboard itself. And like you said, with the Torch, that wasn't necessarily one of their hugest devices, but oddly enough, it comes back as one of the devices and form factors that everybody basically wants to see yet again. Even though the Torch didn't do very well for BlackBerry in the long run, everybody still wants to see it. Where's the slider?
I mean, is that keyboard going to have to be the best damn thing we've ever seen to get people to stay or to switch back, or is it going to be more... Hey, here's another BlackBerry with these awesome BlackBerry services, and that's why you're going to want to come back to us. Or has that been replicated on the other platforms well enough?
Well, when it comes to Android, I don't, assuming it runs Android, I don't think anybody has produced any sort of keyboard in the Android world that could match that. I mean,
certainly not recently.
Yeah, no, not recently. I mean,
the weirdest thing was the Motorola Charm, and it was a licensed keyboard from BlackBerry. The same keyboard as the Curve, so.
Yeah, Motorola had licenses years ago, and they tried some of that Android stuff. But, you know, the closest thing nowadays is a Samsung Snap-on cover, which is debatable whether or not that's actually pretty or ugly. I say it's ugly, but, you know.
I thought it looked pretty bad.
The old version looks horrible, but the other versions aren't too bad.
I love Chris's Crackberry post on that. It was just like WTF.
It's terrible. I think at this point, if it actually does turn out to be real and it shows up running Android, I mean, even from the post that we put up on Android Central the other day, there's a lot of people that were saying they would buy that if it was real and it came to be, right?
Right here. So,
and even BlackBerry users, they, as you know, some of the hardcore fans don't necessarily like Android, but you know, there's been a turn in that as well, that the BlackBerry users that out there that are fans of BlackBerry 10 have said that yeah, they'll probably buy it if it's running, even if it's running Android as well. So I don't know, it's one of those things. We're gonna have to wait and see how it all turns out, but in the long run, I think if BlackBerry does put it out, it's probably going to be very good for them to do so.
This is good for BlackBerry and good for Google. Period. This isn't bad for anyone if this happens. I really want to see it. I'm definitely getting one, because not necessarily because I'm still a big BlackBerry fan, but that keyboard. I just am that guy. My old Curve, I don't even have to look. I can sit there and bang out messages with one thumb. And if you're the same way, you know exactly. Chris knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Once you teach yourself how to do it, you can't unlearn it. It's just there. And I'd go back to that in a heartbeat. And even if this is successful, a BlackBerry Q10 entry-level $150 device running Android that I could stick in my pocket and not care if it gets wet or broken. You know, it wouldn't be the end of the world because it's not a $500 phone. That would replace my Curve that I like to take fishing every now and then.
And to be clear, you said if. I mean, none of this is official yet.
Right.
It's all just. I think it's pretty clear they're working on something, but.
Yeah, they're definitely working on something. It's just, there's so many rumors and so much speculation surrounding the device, but. You know, at this point in time, I've said it numerous times, and people have, you know, harped on me for saying, I don't think there's any doubt in anybody's mind at this point in time that somewhere is in Waterloo, there's BlackBerry devices that are running Android. Like, there's no questioning that fact at this point in time. Like, we've even seen BlackBerry Passport that are running Android or claiming to be running Android. So they've been doing a lot of testing, and in the grand scheme of things, and playing off of some of the earlier rumors, I'd say that they've been doing a lot of this testing since even, you know, back during the BlackBerry Playbook days. I mean, that was the first time that we ever seen BlackBerry fool around with any sort of Android implementation anyways. So they put the Android runtime on the BlackBerry Playbook, which allowed developers to be able to go ahead and run Android applications. They progressed that into BlackBerry 10 smartphones, you know, for better or worse, in the scheme of things, because people can now run Android APKs directly on their BlackBerry 10 smartphones.
Piracy!
Exactly.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, you know, they implemented agreements with Amazon, so the Amazon App Store now comes preloaded on every BlackBerry 10 device.
And that's a really smart thing to do.
Yeah, that was huge.
I love seeing legitimate ways to get Android apps on BlackBerry. That was my only issue with that.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, for the most part, that's a really good solution. But right now, it's starting to show its age, because the Android runtime that they run on current BlackBerry 10 devices, such as the Passport and the Classic and so on, it's still sitting at Android 4.3 Jelly Bean. You know, it hasn't progressed, and as you guys very well know, a lot of those applications are being updated now to essentially the Marshmallow and, of course, Lollipop before that. So you know, a lot of those apps are becoming incompatible now, even more so than before, because the BlackBerry 10 devices don't have access to the Google Play Store or any Google Play services or anything like that. You can hack it on and jimmy it around with it, but, you know, it's still just a hack. It doesn't really work the way that it's supposed to. And that basically led into all the latest rumors about this device coming out. It almost seems like it was a matter of time before this stuff started filtering higher and higher. And now that's what we're seeing. Now we got a full-blown Android device running Lollipop that could be hitting the shelves sometime in November across four national carriers in the U.S. with BlackBerry branding on it, right?
Merry Christmas to Jerry. You buy me one in Canada, it's unlocked. Mail it to me.
It's funny. Yeah. I mean, we've already seen you guys like fighting over who's going to review this thing, if and when it happens. Yeah.
And that's a valid question as well. I mean, do you review it from a BlackBerry 10 perspective? Do you review it from an Android perspective?
Yes.
Like, we rent a cabin, and me and you spend a month in the cabin with like some sort of credit card system that gets beer delivered.
We would find the cabin burned down around you, and you guys just like sitting in the middle of it. We don't know.
But look at how good the camera is.
And, you know, it's fair to look at it in that respect, of course. I'm absolutely interested in hearing what Android users think about this device compared to other Android devices. And I'm absolutely interested in what BlackBerry 10 users think about it compared to other devices as well. The thing is, again, I got to go back to the rumors and the speculation, because there's so many that are out there. I mean, I pretty much heard everything humanly possible about this device. It's going to come in two versions. It's going to run BlackBerry 10 and Android together, like the current iteration, but it's going to be vastly improved using something which BlackBerry basically bought from QNX. It's like the hypervisor. So essentially, it can run Android and BlackBerry 10 at the exact same time. I've heard,
and these things are probably all true. That's the best part.
Yeah,
or were true at some point.
Yeah, and there's just enough evidence to basically put that information out there and lay it out as a possible solution to what is actually going on, but not enough to definitively say yes, this is exactly what they're doing. It's just not enough information. It's small enough to show interest, but not enough to actually prove anything in the long run. The other thing that I've heard is, you know, it's going to be a full-blown Android device, but BlackBerry is, of course, going to be bringing over some of the stuff that is good about BlackBerry 10 and making it sort of like a skin version of Android, which I think is probably the most viable solution at this point in time. It's going to run Android, but they're going to end up bringing over some of those things. And we've already seen bits and pieces of that already, because BlackBerry announced the BlackBerry Experience Enterprise Suite, which is sort of like their cross-platform strategy. They're bringing all of the good bits of BlackBerry services to Android and iOS and Windows Phone. So all those things that you hear about, like the BlackBerry Hub, which is a centralized location for messages and Twitter and Facebook and all that stuff, which is absolutely fabulous. Like, I really wish that there was a way to get that on Android right now. I don't fully believe that there is, at least not in the way that BlackBerry does it. If they get all of that stuff and they bring all that good stuff over that is, you know, the stuff that really works for them on BlackBerry 10 and lay it on top of Android, I think they would have a great solution and a pretty compelling argument, like, as to basically take to the consumers and enterprise customers to say, you know, this is our version of Android. We've customized it just enough to not interfere with the underlings, but we've got all of that BlackBerry goodness in there and all the security and stuff.
What if
I think that would be a compelling argument.
What if they started rolling out updates quicker than anybody else, too?
Well, that would be absolutely amazing, but
BlackBerry is out there.
BlackBerry isn't exactly known for their great rollout scheme of updates.
Either. No, but we'd see leaks of it for like 6 months beforehand.
Yeah.
One thing we can't ignore is the fragmentation thing.
Yeah.
And BlackBerry having a device configured in a way that they're very familiar with and they know is a great testbed to continue to work on their services for Android. you know, that's a dream come true for the guys locked in a cubicle in Canada working on, you know, getting Enterprise, BlackBerry, BES services to work better on Android. They've got a phone right there that they know how it works, instead of having to have 50 phones on their desk and hope that it works on all of them.
Russell's been unusually quiet here. Is this just a total non-starter for you?
No. So, I mean, you know, keyboards on Android phones are cool. I haven't used a BlackBerry phone in forever. I'm embarrassed to say I think the last one I used was a Storm.
Well, then you didn't actually use one.
I didn't actually use a BlackBerry. We lost Jerry.
I laughed at the wrong time. I can see Russell clicking.
Yeah, it was not a good experience. So, yeah, I mean, it's been a while for me. I'm cautiously optimistic. I kind of feel like, you know, I like the way that Blaze is kind of painting this picture, and I would be really down with seeing a phone run like that. I think it would be a welcome change of pace for everyone involved.
Well, we got plenty of time since ain't none of this official yet anyway.
Yeah, we're still digging through all of the rumors at this point. There's nothing finalized, and I think that's pretty clear. I mean, I tried to make that perfectly clear in the write-up that I did, but, you know, people read things, they read the rumors, they see the pictures, and all of a sudden it's instantaneously real, and that's why I chose the title that I did, because it's starting to become real. It's not real yet.
We get excited, man. I mean, this. Yeah. I'm pretty jaded, but this has me excited. I think you can probably tell. I want this to happen so bad.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty excited for it as well. I mean, in the long term, it probably means that they're laying BlackBerry 10 to rest to a certain point. But, you know, it's something new, and it's something fun to actually go ahead and play with. And I think a lot of people will share the same excitement for it, especially in the Android world.
All right, well, if and when it happens, we will absolutely bring Chris back to talk about it some more. I promise. We will. Until then, I guess if you want to stick around, you can stick around. If you need to take off, you can take off. Totally up to you.
Yeah, I'll stick around.
All right. Woo-hoo. Well, let's do this. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we will get into news that's almost as big as the rumor of BlackBerry running Android, or an Android-powered BlackBerry. That would be big, fluffy, white, marshmallows. Jerry's fluffy and white.
I don't know whether to be offended or not.
We'll figure that out in the break. Be right back. What does it mean when every commercial bank in the Fortune 500 relies on Red Hat for enterprise software, or that every department in the executive branch of the U.S. government does too, or every airline in the Fortune Global 500? It means that 90% of all the companies in the Fortune 500 understand the value that supported enterprise open source software can bring to their business. The value of open source is the rapid innovation, freedom, and interoperability that comes with community-powered technology. Then the value of Red Hat is taking responsibility for that technology, testing it, enhancing security, and certifying that it will work in your data center. So what is Red Hat doing that is making such a big difference? Well, it's simple. Well, it's simple, but not easy. They make sure that you can get all the benefits of open source without the risk of doing it all yourself. No one else can make that promise, much less keep it. So visit redhat.com to see how they can help your enterprise with application development, storage, and cloud computing. Red Hat, different for the sake of better technology. All right, Jerry, which is it? Are you offended? Or are you laughing?
No, I'm never offended.
I don't think I've ever managed to offend you.
I don't think anybody has ever managed to offend me.
I'm sure I've tried, but...
You can try. I've tried.
I thought Jerry sailing yesterday was pretty good.
Yeah, that was. That was funny.
Jerry on Google Plus, he's like, oh, this big storm coming. I was like, Jerry, wheelchair, big blanket, Jerry sailing. That'd be awesome.
The people.
Has anybody looked at Jerry's About page on the Android Central mailing?
God.
Oh, no.
You ruined it. Here, you got to see his reaction. Here it comes.
Wait, I got to find it.
You guys listen to the audio version. You're going to have to go watch this.
I forget how to get there.
AndroidCentral.com/about. About.
Sorry, Phil. I didn't know it was like some super...
No, I hadn't told him. I just changed it. I showed you guys.
Oh, yeah. You did good, Phil.
We'll leave it up for a while so everybody listening to the podcast can see it. Android 6.0 Marshmallow. It is officially official. Marshmallow. Mallow. M-A-L-L-O-W. Yeah, I mean, that's sort of kind of it, right? We got a name. We got a statue. I was listening to... I did a post last week, actually, saying you need to go listen to Blurg. The Blurg! I want to yell it. The Blurg! Chris Lacey. Who does Action Launcher, his podcast. Oh, poor Jerry. I caught him vaping.
Whoa.
Camera was stuck
that's
on you.
Not a, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know the camera was
on you. No, it's my fault.
The camera was on you.
My fault. No, so Chris is doing a really good podcast now, and he had JR Raphael on this week to talk about 6.0 and Marshmallow. And I thought JR had a really interesting point, and that is, or was it Chris? Damn it, now I'm forgetting. One of them had an interesting point in which the statues themselves have gone from these weird morphings of the bug droid and the tasty treat to more of bug droid holding the whatever. Russell sounds like he's got some insight. Or are you just smiling?
Yeah, I mean, this is we've seen this for a while now where the green guy is front and center. They want this brand recognition. You know, they jumped into this cute and funny, you know, oh, everything's running Android, you know, way in the early days, and then no one knew what an Android device was. You know, it was a droid or a Galaxy for the longest time, and I think it's been an uphill battle for going on 2 years now where you know, Google has been really pushing for brand recognition of, you know, the Android logo and the Android mascot, and this is a continuation of that.
We've got near final APIs. We do have the final official SDK, right?
Well, final enough to release it.
Right.
I'm sure there'll be an update. When
nothing's ever final. Comes, yeah. Right. We got a preview 3, and actually the preview has been updated at least once since then. You know, slightly. You know, OTAs are pushing out. I mean, we're just missing new devices, right? And source code and.
Pretty much. I mean, I haven't tried the. They still call it a preview, but it's like the gold master version is one other way you can think of it. On the Nexus 9, it runs really nice,
mm-hmm.
Nicer than I expected. I don't want to put it on my Nexus 6 because I'm using Project Fi, and I've heard some bad things there.
But, sorry about that. Actually, quick aside, like Google customer service. I was thinking back to when the Nexus 1 came out, and Google's like, customer service? What's that? Talk to HTC, and HTC's like, no, talk to Google. I made the mistake of trying to activate Project Fi on the M preview, and apparently it doesn't like that. So I flashed back real quick, which only confused it more. So anyway, that was interesting. Continue.
But I think they're a whole lot further along than anybody expected. And at this point, I'm going to agree, all we need is the phones, which brings up another point. Why so early? Because I know they had a little interesting thing to say about that on the Blurg, so there's your segue, Phil.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about this before. It wouldn't surprise us at all to see devices before October this year. And there's nope. I mean, there's no reason why they can't put them out whenever they're ready, I guess.
And unfortunately, I mean, I don't know anybody that's willing to tell me anything because I'm itching to know. I don't, you know... Usually off the record, we can get a little bit of juice about new Nexus devices. This year, not much at all. Everybody's pretty quiet. We've seen a leak that looks real or fake, depending on who you want to ask. You know, how good are you at Photoshop, bro? I don't know, but I'm pretty psyched. I you know, want to see what Google. How does Google compete with a Note 5? You know. That's what I want
to
see.
I don't know that it's trying to compete with the Note 5, but I mean, because it can't. But
I think they're laser focused on grabbing consumers to buy these Nexus phones, and it's no longer a Russell and Jerry use a Nexus phone while the rest of you guys look at us and point and laugh and say nerd. I don't think we're there anymore. I think that they're focused squarely on the consumer market.
We didn't really get anything new in these previews as far as features, right? Like Google Now and Tap, which is kind of the big one we've all been waiting to see, still doesn't work. Which, you know, okay.
a little bit of polish here and there, mm-hmm. but nothing new. No.
The permissions, I finally started looking at a little bit more because we're getting closer, but it was something else Chris and JR talked about. Chris got a good reply from, I think, Adam Koch? Forget who it was from. But basically, why are the permissions kind of buried in the settings? And they basically said, look, we don't want people breaking your apps yet. and that makes sense, actually. I mean, I get it.
It's an advanced setting for advanced users. There's no foul in hiding it.
No, and the bigger thing is going to be actually showing the permissions at runtime, right?
Right.
Not so much, now I can turn everything off, but it's going to be, hey, they showed me that at the right time and in the right way.
That changes nothing, but it's like you said, maybe that's the right way. That way people know what's going on without having to go looking for it, which has been a major complaint.
Should we read anything into the jump to 6.0, Russell? I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it's kind of arbitrary. They can number it whatever the hell they want. But
Google has had a non-standard number format for their product releases when it comes to Android for forever. We've had, 1 point jumps that have been, or 0.1 jumps that have been massive visual overhauls. We've had full point jumps that have been, on the surface very little, but underneath a whole lot more. I honestly think that the jump to 6.0 is because, we all know that 5.0 had its problems at launch and it got fixed with 5.1 and then 5.1.1. So this is kind of a way to wipe the slate clean and start over with this branch. And that's not a bad thing, to kind of visually pull people away from that.
So we
that was my take on it as well. They basically just jumped it up so that they could say that they were no longer on any version of 5. They just move into 6 for marketing purposes.
So we should avoid the odd numbers is what you're saying.
No, we're not going to fall into the Windows trap. That's not going to happen.
I think it's just we're going to see a full version change because it's now a yearly release cycle. Next fall is going to be 7. Yeah. I mean,
that could easily be it, too.
I love how 3 has just been totally wiped from the face of...
Good.
Like, go to the platform version phase, it's just not even... And I get that nobody has it, but still.
Well, it's that was an abomination. It never should have seen the light of day.
Ouch. Not wrong, but still. Ouch.
What was 3? I can't even...
See?
Honeycomb.
Oh, tablet.
The almost open source version of an open source operating system.
Oh, you're still mad about that, aren't you?
Yes, I'm still mad about that.
But not really. It's like open source side of Jerry is fighting realistic side of Jerry.
That happens a lot.
I know, right? Yeah,
let my hair grow and stop worrying about it.
Are you guys surprised about the treat itself? Marshmallow versus, I don't know, whatever else, marzipan.
Milkshake.
Milkshake could have been fun, I think.
I wanted it to be Milkshake just so I could sing that song.
I think they've been solids this far. I did enjoy learning that they're not desserts.
Yes.
Yeah, they're
tasty treats.
And that was kind of a cute aside.
Well, I mean, that goes back to... I mean, Kit Kat's not really a dessert. Lollipop's not really a dessert. I mean, that goes back a little ways, I think.
It does, and it made... Like, when they said it out loud, I went, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
And, all of the people who were involved in the Chubby Bunny video, if you listen to this podcast, I have gifts of you, and they are getting used in the not-so-distant future.
I'm glad they did it so we don't have to.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we'd totally do it if we had to. We'd make Andrew do it.
I don't know who to give credit to for this, but I was reading a thing on Google+ about... it's tasty treats and not desserts. And somebody said that means N can be not broccoli. So
I was trying to think of that on the way in this morning, on the way into the office. Like, all right, what could N be? Nougat kept coming to mind.
Vanilla wafers.
Oh, that would be a good one. Nestle. Just do a big giant brand.
I have to say, though, it also made a huge amount of sense. Anyone who's ever been to I.O., or has ever been to like a private Google meeting where they have just this corner of either the office or the convention center that is just full of junk food.
Yep.
I mean, so full of junk food. And if you've ever toured the Google campus, their micro kitchens that are all over the place aren't all that different. Like, there's just racks of junk. And a lot of it, like, they've gotten a lot better about there being healthy stuff there, too. But, like, that's definitely a thing there where, you know, people are working all hours of the night and they wander into the micro kitchen to grab a coffee and just a bunch of junk food.
Get that sugar rush.
Yeah.
That's all I eat at I.O.
Yeah, that corner at I.O. is just...
It's not good.
So bad. There's so much junk food there.
Anything else for M that I think we're forgetting? Anything in the Q&A we should discuss about M? Oh. Yeah, you guys are out there.
Oh, I'm way out there.
Oh, let me see if I say this white. White. God, I'm sorry. Quadwo? I think I got that right. I hope. What do you think about Google only now going to fix the mobile radioactive bug in Marshmallow? Then, I don't know.
They said they're only fixing it in Marshmallow?
It's in the code, the bug code thing, the bug code tracker.
You may have noticed Google's been a little busy with this side project that has two letters and has a lot to do with mobile things, particularly mobile radios. So that team might have just been a little distracted.
But I think we're reading too much into it to say it's only going to get fixed on M and higher. That's, you got to start somewhere, and that's probably where they're going to start. They figure it out. It'd be very easy to change a couple lines of code in previous version. Yeah.
He also wants to know, could a Nexus launch happen at IFA in a couple weeks? God, I hope not, because
that's a busy week.
The media day for IFA is September, I think it's the 2nd. Wednesday, so a week and a half from now, basically, and it's already slammed. I don't think so. I mean, stranger things have happened. It was 2 years ago, I was in, I can see Jerry down here in the corner just shaking his head, trying not to say things. But, I mean, it was 2 years ago, I was in the Paris airport as I did, like, my trip from hell trying to get out to Berlin, and the Nexus 5 accidentally showed up in that video. Yes, Jerry!
I didn't say
I think the Nexus launches have been predominantly U.S. oriented. I mean, we did have that one freak storm in New York City that sent people to China for the Nexus launch, but for the most part, they've been U.S. launches. And
no, that was
the Galaxy Nexus.
That was Steve Jobs dying.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, the storm was different. They just sent out devices that year.
Well, the past couple there's been no huge fanfare. You know, they didn't fly everybody all over from around the world to some certain location and do the cha-cha on stage. You know, when they released the phones, they may have done it before that and talked about it, but you know, they kind of can just make an announcement on Google Plus that they're releasing a phone, can't they? After they've told us that it's coming?
I think so.
Yeah. I mean, that would certainly be better than 10 minutes before you go to take your kids out trick-or-treating. You get a email from Google saying, hey, we've got this news coming up.
Yeah.
I will never forgive you for that, by the way.
It's almost like when last week they did it by forming a whole new company as I had one foot out the door here at the office.
Right.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Hey, Brent wants to know, is anybody else experiencing the error 504 in the Google Play Store? On Preview 2, I couldn't update Chrome. Preview 3, I can't update Google Play Games. Yes, I have those exact errors.
I can't update Google Plus either.
Really?
Yes, and I don't know why. I get the same error. I don't think I've sideloaded anything, but...
Welcome to this time of year, actually. Yeah. I mean, it's not uncommon.
Preview. It's still a preview, so I'm not going to get too upset.
Yeah. Let me see. Anything else in there? I don't think so. Brian wants to know, you know, is it worth getting a Nexus 9 at this point? Jerry said, wait a month if you can.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see a new Nexus tablet anytime soon.
And Nexus 9's already down to like $300 or so, right?
Something like that.
That's the price they should have sold
that. Yeah. And it runs really well now. That's the more important thing.
Yep.
In the beginning, it was hard to recommend because it was expensive and a little janky. Well, now it's less expensive and not as much jank.
I'm enjoying it a lot.
Yeah, I love mine.
Use it every day. It's funny. It's weird hearing people who don't use it.
Well, I mean, I use it so much now that, dude, the Moto G is all the phone I need because I just use a phone just to talk to people. Anything else, I've got that tablet that does a really good job at it.
You want to talk the Android Wear update real quick? We can do that. Was it Android Wear 1.3? Is that what they're calling it?
1.3.
I didn't even see it. I didn't even look to see what the about screen says. So I got
it. We got more doodles.
Yeah. Oh, we have more doodles? Great. Look at my face.
We have a special watch face just for doodles now.
Yeah.
Where you can send doodles to a loved one.
Please don't.
I'm gonna doodle you. Doodle
you so hard. And it's not like last time where it just guesses and tries to put an emoji in. Like, it actually sends the doodle.
The biggest change for me is that I can't just tap on the watch here and have it go straight into the menu or whatever. Now you have to slide over to get it. And I'm still getting used to that after 6 hours. But yeah, I mean, so we have new interactive watch faces. I mean, that's a big deal for watch face developers. Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, those are really cool.
I haven't tried any yet. There's just the one that Russell mentioned. What does it say? Versions. 5.1.1 still. Android Wear 1.3.0.216.628.
You need to try out that Pougie Black.
Oh, yeah.
That watch face is supposed to be really, really cool in interactive mode.
Ooh. I will take a look. Send me a link.
Now, we got to. How independent is this from the platform version grade that's going to come soon and allow like the G Watch R to have Wi-Fi? And
yeah, that's what I was.
There's two different updates coming, right?
No. That's the same update, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, right. It's the same.
Yeah.
I was off yesterday. I just know what I read on Android Central.
Yeah, and it's so they. It's going to be the same update version, but the G Watch R is the only one that's getting extra features to the hardware.
And I cheated. I looked in my email, and I had 9 things from 9 different people at LG telling me how great all this was going to be. So,
and that was one of those things that, like, we knew it could do it. They just had to, you know, re-FCC it or whatever and you know, get that.
Well, they did it with the 360. Didn't have Wi-Fi until the last update. You know, it was there, but it couldn't communicate and sync unless it was Bluetooth connected to a phone. It couldn't use the Wi-Fi features. Right? Right? If I'm crazy, somebody tell me I'm crazy.
Well, I think that's when all of them got Wi-Fi was the last update. The last major update.
I don't remember.
It just took the 360 way longer to get it than anyone else.
Maybe that's okay. Why.
See, you should just give me another day off and I could just be fine.
Well, I mean, we've still got the Huawei watch waiting in the wings. Zenwatch 2. I mean, those are the two that are just announced. The next one from Moto has been spotted all over the place. And that's been spotted for a long time, but it looks like it really came out more this week.
Is it bad that I still use the Pebble?
Do you like it?
No.
Does it work for you?
works better for me than everything but the kitchen sink on my wrist.
Then who the hell cares?
Well,
use what works for you.
All right.
I'm fine with that. Did you see that? There was some Kickstarter I sent you? Or maybe
yes,
I put it in chat. It's like Pebble Steel, or not Pebble Steel, Pebble Time with a laser in it.
Yes.
A laser.
You know what I've got coming. If that fits on what I've got coming, I'm going to be walking around. I'm going to be blowing clouds of vapor and shooting lasers everywhere.
So wrong.
Jerry will be his own disco show.
All right, well, let's take one more break. When we come back, we will talk some more Note 5, because I've got one here. I've been using it. We'll share some thoughts. Andrew's review went up today, and there's a whole lot of discussion in the comments very quickly about some stuff, so I want to talk about that. So hang on. We will be right back. All right, this one's for all you office drones out there. It's time to talk about Igloo. It's an internet you will actually like. If you're tired of dealing with your company's tired internal website and want something better, tell them to check out Igloo. It's built with easy-to-use apps. It's got file sharing. It's got blogs. It's got wikis and social capabilities, shared calendars, task management, and more. You know, it's just like the big kid internet. It's not some 8-bit watered-down corporate thing. Igloo pretty much has everything you need to work better together in a single configurable cloud platform. And Igloo has responsive design, so it'll already work great on desktops and tablets, or on your phone, and that means iOS and Android. Still have a BlackBerry? It'll work on that, too. And that means you can get more done while you're on the go. Review a document from the coffee shop, or post an update while you're away from the computer. Even check the number of vacation days you have left while you're still on vacation. And when you design your Igloo, any changes you make will immediately carry over across all your devices. So whether you're a large enterprise stuck using SharePoint or you're a fast-growing business overwhelmed by apps, you can create an intranet that matches your brand's look and feel and simplifies how you work, and it's accessible on your phone. So tell your IT folks to give Igloo a try. Sign up now and try it for free at igloosoftware.com/android. That's igloosoftware.com/android. All right, who's ready to get upset? Who's ready to get mad? Who's ready to get excited?
I'm ready. I have my ready beverage.
I love Chris's Pulp Fiction poster back there, by the way.
It's so nice.
Do you guys watch?
And he's a Doctor Who fan. I've learned so much about this person.
Are you guys watching Mr. Robot?
Yes.
I've been waiting for it to basically get over so I could watch them all.
Yeah, and I tell you, I watched the first 4 or 5, I think, just on Google Play, and then I've watched the last 2 on TV, and I hate commercials. It's totally worth, you know, paying $25 for the whole season just to not have to deal with that. But it was, yeah, I mean, I don't want to like spoil anything, but there's a Pulp Fiction reference this week, and it just made me feel old. It made me feel really old, because I was in, freshman, sophomore year of high school when that came out, I think. I didn't see it for a while after that, but...
You just...
I know.
Be quiet.
You sound like my wife. My wife's 6 years older than me.
And Russell, just because I have a TARDIS back there, that's like not even... That doesn't even begin to show you how much Doctor Who stuff I have.
Nice. If walk over to that TARDIS and open the door and let him see the inside.
Yeah. Actually, it's a cardboard stand-up, so...
Yeah, I've got the same stand-up.
Yeah, but I have literally... Anything that you could possibly think of. Old Target nice. Books, collector autographs.
Very cool.
I met Peter Davison once when he was here, so I got a bunch of Target books autographed, all kinds of stuff. Just an insane amount.
So the Note 5. Here it is. I have one.
It's so pretty.
It's really... I've yet to use the S Pen. I feel like I should, but...
You're using it now.
Well, yeah, now.
You could draw doodles and send it out to your watch.
Why would I do that? Ever. No. I mean, it does exactly what my finger does.
No, well...
I mean, that's not to say it's not cool as hell, because I love, like, being able to see things show up on the screen and I'm not even touching it.
But it can do things with far more precision than your finger can do if you need to do those things.
My fingers are very precise.
Every time that I get a chance to randomly stumble across someone who is like actually drawing art using a Note 5 and a pen, it is always just kind of mind-blowing, because it's like I might as well just be using my elbows to draw.
When we first got the Note, I think the Note 3 was when they really improved the stylus support. It was okay before, but the Note 3, I spent a week doing nothing but drawing and I mean, you know, I'm not a great artist or anything, but I had a ton of fun, and I was glad that they improved it.
You're a lot better than me, though, and I think that's the difference. I'm just not a stylus, you know, user. That's not who it's for. But I tell you, I mean, I've been using this for 48 hours. What's today? Friday, I got it Tuesday. So 3 days. And I have no problem using this just as a normal phone, because everything else has gotten that big. Right? I mean, I was using the Nexus 6 for a week before that because I got Project Fi, and it's, you know, decent little... bit small, not a decent little bit, it's a little bit smaller than the Nexus 6, and you know, so it's very much like I was swinging with two baseball bats and, you know, dropped down to one, and this is so much smaller now, but it's, you know, essentially the size of the G4. It's, you know, going to be the size of the Moto X. So I mean, like, I haven't had any problems using it as a normal phone. I'm still not crazy about Samsung software. I'm still not crazy about the buttons. The home button, I've gotten used to. I'm fine with that. The back button's on the wrong side for me. I hold the phone in my left hand. I need to be able to hit that back button more than I hit multitasking. But damn, that screen is nice. The camera is the same camera, so it's awesome. Let's talk about the RAM thing, just because people started going nuts in the comments. And I get that there's some video out there of somebody like launching 13 apps at one time and then launching them all again and seeing what launches quicker. And in my day-to-day use of this phone, I've had so far, and again, I'm 3 days in, so take that for what it's worth. I've had zero problems with apps launching when I tell them to launch, right? It's behaving like a phone exactly how I expect it to. That's not to say that in somebody else's use case, it might behave differently. But for me right now, so far, it's doing exactly what I think it should do. And I'm not, never in a million years do I launch 10 apps at one time and then relaunch them again, just, and pull them back up just to see what happens. That's just not how I use a phone. So my bigger issue, and I think Russell said it really well in the comments, was, if there's an issue with the way it's handling RAM, and this is not a new issue, right? This goes back to the HTC One X, I think, is when we really first became aware of it.
Well, custom ROM way before.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah.
They set, how quickly they want to dump apps out of memory so that more critical things don't shut down. And that makes total sense. But my thing is that video was not a very good, it was not a very specific and scientific way to test it. Nor does it tell you what Samsung's intentions are, like why it would set things, why it would set that limit where it sets it. And it's also, it's not a, these phones are not all created equal. I mean, the Note 5 does things very differently than the G4 does, very differently than the Nexus 6 does, whatever you pick. They are totally different phones, period.
I spent the morning saying that I was going to stay out of it this time, but I can't. This is working as intended. You may not like the way it works, but this is done so that the user interface, you swipe between your home screens, tap your widgets, open your app drawer, prepare to launch apps, that all runs a whole lot smoother than some other phones who may be able to multitask a little better. And that's because Samsung has set it to be able to give that little extra boost to the user interface. Like Phil said, we first saw this on an HTC phone, and everybody was up in arms. That doesn't mean it's broken. It just means it's working a little bit differently than you may like.
And that one was an interesting case because I remember at the time being like, all right, there's a little bit of like software jank that is not uncommon when we get these phones a little early like that. Turns out it was something else, specifically going on. But yeah, I have issues when somebody says, I see this thing and I don't like this thing. It's broken. Well, you don't know that it's broken. It might not be what you want. But
the good news is Samsung has some really smart people working there. They're not just going to say, okay, we're done with this. If they see a lot of people using the phone say, well, we wish it did this a little differently, they're going to get in there and tweak things. And min-free settings are infinitely tweakable. They could send you an update every day and have your phone act entirely different by changing those settings. So I'm sure they could look into it and maybe make it not reload a form in Chrome if you've got five other things open, which is the biggest complaint I hear.
And
people switch away from Chrome to copy some text and then go to paste it back and the form's resubmitted.
I guarantee you're going to have a better chance of stuff like that getting tweaked if you're in the forum, and I guarantee you Samsung reads our forums and all the other forums. If you're in those forums being constructive about this stuff and not just it's broken, Samsung sucks at this. I don't know how to make a smartphone, but okay. But yeah, if something needs to be tweaked, I'm sure they'll tweak it. But I have not seen anything in my 3 days of use of this to make me think that there isn't something inherently wrong with it, is my point. And I also think that an AppLap video is as scientific as a drop test video. They're worthless. They're entertainment. That's my point. Otherwise, I'm surprised how much I like this. It's a Samsung phone. I'll probably, when Motorola or the next Nexus comes out, I'm going to be like, all right, enough of that. Let's get back to something lighter. Because I think the biggest bill of goods that we've been sold this year was that Samsung was lightening up on the software. Mm. And that's just, no. There's still so much stuff on here. It's ridiculous.
I'm waiting for the rumor now that Google has been sold to Alphabet. That's because Samsung wanted them to do it and they'll make it even lighter. Isn't that what we heard before about Motorola?
No.
Samsung's going to deliver what their target audience wants, in their opinion, and that's what they did.
So, the other thing I keep thinking is So here's the note next to the GS6 Edge, right? And I think this is the new GS6 Mini, and the note really is the new phone. It's no longer this behemoth, you know, just oversized monster
Stop
of a thing.
Making me want one.
It's nice.
I don't need another note.
Well, when I get tired of this, like next week, I'll send it to you.
Or you could just send him, what, like 5 Asus Zenfones 2 for the same price?
Yeah, see, I basically made up for it with Jerry. Jerry has the equivalent of a Note 5.
That's my biggest thing is, and I get it, that a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, if you wanted a great, great phone, you may have to spend $799 on it. In 2015, you don't, and that didn't affect the bottom line at all. I really wanted to see this launch at $599, or, you know, let's knock $150 off the price, because there are some really great options at one-third or less of the cost, and it didn't happen.
Let me see if I can find... I think this was like 800-something out the door. And I went ahead and paid full... I was pissed. I went ahead and paid full price for it just because I thought they needed to do a credit check, and I don't know why. I've been paying this bill for I don't know how many years now. It was really weird. Anyway, so I went ahead and paid full price for it, but it was not cheap. Where is it? I don't see it. It was like 800 something. Here it is. $792. So with tax and all that, $851.40.
Which is only $100 difference from the Galaxy S6 that I got.
I know, right?
Which is nuts. I'm not saying that's too much. I'm not going to go there. I'm just saying...
It's a lot of money. I mean, let's...
Yeah.
This year, we have, you know, viable competition for $200, and it didn't affect the price at all.
I think we could still make the argument that the Moto G, and I have to send mine back soon. I haven't been using it, but, I mean, it's... I think we can make the argument that it is a better phone, easily for the money, but a better use than something that costs, you know, 3 times as much, 4 times as much.
Well, I sat down and did a little figuring. You can get a really nice Pentax digital camera, you know, with it. You can interchange the lens and a good tablet and a Moto G for less money than a Note 5.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, what it boils down to is that these are, you know, we're finally at a point where we can admit, you know, beyond shadow of a doubt that these are luxury items. The, you know, when we get into these higher tier devices, the things that you get out of them are not, you know, $500 worth of difference,
right?
In the quality. They end up being luxury devices,
and that's probably very much by design, right? It's like the Apple tax.
Right, and I didn't mean to start, you know, any type of trouble and say that it's not worth the money. That's if it's worth the money to you, then it's worth the money. I can't tell you what it is. I just mentioned that I'm surprised it didn't affect the price more than it did. I wanted to see it knock the price down another $100.
So where do you guys see Samsung's lineup? Just seems so muddied to me. Like, I mean, we've got this, you know, the GS6 is supposed to be the phone, but you have the 6 Edge Plus, which is just a bigger 6 Edge, and then you have the Note, which is really the same thing, just better design with the curve on the right side this time, and, the addition of the pen and, you know, cooler software. I tell you, the screenshot thing where you can take a screenshot of the entire, you know, app or, you know, webpage or whatever, that's cool as hell.
Like, yeah, that's really cool.
I don't know why you would buy one of the other ones at this point. I wouldn't.
It's size, you know, because you have to look at the S6. You know, the S6 is a whole lot smaller in profile than the other phones in its category, and that's what we're seeing with the Note now, is that it's a whole lot smaller. You know, you compared it earlier.
I was in Best Buy this afternoon, and I don't see a 6 Plus, an iPhone 6 Plus all that often, so I just went and checked it out. And, this is shorter than the 6 Plus, and it has a bigger screen.
Yeah, so, crazy. I mean, people who constantly say, you know, man, I wish there was a small Android phone, I wish there was a small Android phone, take your iPhone 6 and hold it next to a Nexus 5. There ain't a whole lot of difference there anymore.
Yeah.
You know, they got pretty close. It's a little taller, but it's not a whole lot wider. You know, that's the small phone that people want now, which I know makes... the Xperia Z3 compact user in the room cry a little, but that's
life.
Yeah,
I made a mistake and sold that phone.
Yeah,
I don't think I'm ever going to find another one to replace it.
Sorry,
certainly not a lime green one.
Sorry.
Well, no, I didn't have to sell it. I sold it because I thought I could get some money out of it before it turns useless when the Z4 compact mini came out and was going to be so great and I was going to buy it. Now Russell tells me it's going to be huge.
I mean, if you ask me at this point, I would say sell your GS6 and get this if you could do it. I mean, it was weird seeing all that hate immediately in the review. Just, it's first I'd heard of it, I think.
This is the fan reaction to the Galaxy S6. You know, it wasn't wasn't the absolute most powerful thing out there. The battery in it really wasn't all that great. And now the big thing when the Galaxy S6 launched and got reviewed was, well, at least we can rely on the Note to be the power user phone with its removable battery and its SD card slot and its higher specs, because that's what it's always been.
Yeah, and I was one predicting that as well.
Yeah. So that didn't happen, and it's an upsetting adjustment period for people who were hoping that this was going to continue being the power user phone instead of, a refined Note experience that appeals to the wider market.
Speaking of battery,
totally what this is.
Especially if you live in Europe.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Alex, had to go there. No, speaking of battery, I'm getting from, 7 in the morning till 10 o'clock at night without a whole lot to spare. I'm getting down to, 20, 30%. But
that's good enough. But if you use the Note 3, right, I can see you screaming over that because that's horrible compared to the Note 3. And I don't care about battery size or anything else or being able to change it or remove it. My wife's Note 3, and she's got a computer that I don't think she's opened the lid on her laptop in 6 months. Her Note 3 is her life. She walks around. She's on it constantly. And it can get her through the day, 7 hours of time with the screen on and actually doing stuff. And that's why people are screaming and carrying on about the battery life, because that's what they expected.
Yeah, no, it's going to be disappointing on that front. I am happy to find that it works. That tilt wireless charger that's like leaning back and you just leave your phone up on it. I am happy to say it works with that. So I've been leaving it on that when I'm in the office. And that's a good thing, because for whatever reason, the GS6 didn't seem to want to work. I think it's working with it better now because I had it on there today. But it didn't work at first. Something was weird with that. Top it off. We haven't seen one of those newfangled faster wireless charging puck things that Samsung's doing. I'm curious to see that. The battery, while it gets me through a day, it's not going to blow anybody away compared to the other Notes.
But it is now acceptable. It's not bad like many of us thought the S6 was bad. Other people say it was fine, but I don't think anybody at Android Central could get through an entire day with an S6 without hitting the charger.
I couldn't get out of the office in the afternoon.
So now you can.
Yeah. That's it for me 3 days into the Note 5. I like it a lot. I think if you're a Samsung fan, you're going to like this phone a lot. There's a lot to like there. I'm still not ever using the heart rate thing back there ever, ever, ever. Listen to me, Samsung. No. And by the way, a couple other things. One, give me my browser back. Quit hijacking Yes.
Use the heart rate monitor while you're running and let's see.
Oh, I don't even know if I have the fit stuff turned on.
That just occurred to me.
What?
The browser hijack thing is happening to you on the Verizon version.
Yes.
I don't even have the Samsung browser on the Verizon GS6.
Really?
Like, it's not even there. That was one of the weird things. Like, that was one of the things that made me so happy about this version of the phone, was that there was no browser hijack.
Because I'm pretty sure it did that on the T-Mobile. Let me check my T-Mobile.
It does it on the T-Mobile one too. That was one of the big things, that like there was no Samsung browser on the Verizon Galaxy S6. It's not there, and I can't install it.
It doesn't help that the way it handles defaults is just weird now. It's like,
I completely, like, I spaced on that when you mentioned it earlier. That,
like, you go to the Android Central app, and I guess maybe there's something wrong with our intent, or we need to do it differently. But when you say open in browser, it always opens in the Samsung browser, and I don't get a choice to do it in Chrome. And I need to read some more about that. But
there's
Probably something on our end, I think. But
I'm going to go out on a limb and say there's some sort of helper application that's just intercepts all calls to the browser and then decides to forward it on to
maybe
another
buyer.
There's that, and they've got it. Look, Samsung has the best damn screens out there. I know it's a small thing, but full screen album art on the lock screen. Period. What? Make, why not?
Make it, you know, a choice. Because I listen to stuff like Black Flag, and if your kids are, you know, if I'm visiting with your kids and they pick up my phone, they maybe don't want to see all this full screen album art on the lock screen.
Well, I mean, look, mine's going to have Frozen on it half the time. Who am I kidding?
Well, but you, if you want to put a big picture up there, you need to be able to give users a way to turn it off. That's all I'm saying.
Fine, but give me the option.
Right.
It's too,
options are always good.
It's too good a display to not do. Yeah. So that's my 3-day take on the Note 5. I like it a lot. It's easier for me to hold than the Nexus 6. A lot easier.
Is it? Fits my cup holder. Hold as the S6?
I think it's easier for me to hold.
Okay.
Yeah, just, that curve back.
Yeah.
They changed the...
And God, this feels so small now. And I like to think that the curve back just makes it easier no matter what. Never mind the size difference.
Is that a T-Mobile S6 Edge?
It is.
Send it to me when you're done with it.
Yeah.
I want to try to break it.
Hmm.
At least I'm up front.
That's probably the most expensive phone I have in here.
That one, smack it with a hammer.
That one cost more than the Note.
That's honestly why I have a Moto G 2015 instead of an S6.
See?
Too expensive.
Yeah, I think that one was because that's a 128. Figure they're making it. We should get it. Got to test it just to make sure.
Then I don't want to break that one.
Yeah, don't break it.
No, you keep that one.
So we got tons more coming on the Note 5. We'll make Andrew test the memory. How about that?
Well, maybe the memory isn't going to flake out for Andrew because of the way he uses the phone.
No, and that's
the thing.
Yep. I get it.
You know, people throw the word power user out there a lot. I mean, if you're watching anime videos and you know, in some Tapa Talk chat room, does that make you a power user? I don't know, but that means you're going to be using a lot resources a whole lot differently than the guy who's got Google Docs open and trying to make a few bucks. You know, people use their phones differently, and it's going to affect some people more than others.
Oh, hey, real quick, and then we'll do some Q&A and get out of here. Google, was it OnHub?
OnHub.
They announced a wireless router from TCP and said an Asus one is coming later this year, and that kind of gets me excited because I love my Asus router I have now, insofar as one can and should love a router. That's another thing for another time with another therapist, though. I mean, why do I want a Google router? What does this give me that my current router does not do?
Software that isn't terrible, in theory. I haven't seen it. But let me go ahead and put this out there. I love the idea. I have never once ever touched a TP-Link router that I didn't immediately want to hurl out the window. And I'm talking about the hardware, not necessarily the software. The software is... Most router software is terrible because it's meant for nerds to poke around in. And I like the idea that Google is making it more user-friendly because it's kind of what has happened with Apple's AirPort line for a while there. But then Apple just decided to remove all of their features so that it's just like a system monitor now. It doesn't actually do anything. So I like the idea. I am really interested to see the app to see what features you exactly have access to. I'm probably going to shy pretty far away from this TP-Link one because those people are not good.
I remember Phil saying, well, do we need to look at it? Who wants to look at this thing? And none of us
loved the idea. Not letting that thing on my network.
Chicken. I think it was. Was it Scoble or somebody else? I forget who shared a good link to kind of the privacy concerns.
Well, and that was my biggest thing. Right. I was teasing a lot of the crazy stuff I was saying, but still, I mean, that sounded scary. Is the stuff I do on my VPN going to be sent through Google servers? They didn't come right out and tell me yes or no. I had to dig around and see how that was going to happen.
I tell you what does excite me though is in talking about making it easy to do. Is find somebody you know who has Project Fi, if you haven't seen it yet, and look at the Fi app. That to me, that is the real Uncarrier at this point. How easy and how good they have made that, especially when you look at any other carrier's, you know, account app that comes on a carrier phone. Yep. Google's is just 10,000 times better. That's the way it should
and be. It is absolutely worth mentioning that the hardware that they're working with for these on-hub devices are way more than just Wi-Fi routers. They are full-on Internet of Things hubs, and they're encrypted Internet of Things hubs, which means, you know, the stuff that I've been talking about for a while now that are going to be problems for Google Weave and stuff like that are not going to be problems with this hub. It's, you know, it's going to be a way easier way to manage that kind of stuff, which isn't important now, but it will be important in about a year.
This isn't like full on Brillo yet, is it?
I mean, it's prepared to do so. Yeah.
When Brillo actually becomes a thing.
Right. Yeah, it'll be a switch that gets flipped, and these on-hub routers will immediately be able to talk to everything and start working, and that's huge.
And we'll find Russell just dead somewhere underneath a pile of stuff.
It's a true story.
Not
that
a deal breaker.
Really morbid. And I almost didn't say that when it started to come out. I'm like, dead, Jerry, you don't want to find Russell dead. Shut up, Jerry.
As long as he turns in his stuff on time, he can die. I mean, you can work dead, just make your deadlines. Deadlines.
That was terrible. You should feel bad.
I do. But you know, back to that Brillo thing. Do you know what I want instead? I want a puck. You know the Philips Hue, that little puck, mm-hmm. the bridge? Uh-huh. I want something like that I can plug into my existing router with, you know, a Cat 6 cable.
Oh, I have boom. That's totally going to happen as well. I mean,
that's what I'm holding out for because I like my router. I don't want a new router.
Yeah. I think the puck thing is definitely going
to
happen.
I think it's more important to split that stuff up because when something does go wrong and something will break at some point, then you're just swapping out that one component. But
it can't be difficult to make a puck that has a speaker and a microphone and you can talk to it and do your thing.
Yeah, no, it's called Amazon Echo.
Oh my gosh.
Which by the way now works with smart things.
Where is Google competing with the Amazon Echo? I don't understand.
Yep.
Why is there not a Google Now thing that does what the Echo does? How is this not something that exists yet?
My kids still love that so much. I might have to buy a second one.
It's driving me crazy. Every time a new feature comes out, I'm just like, but it's $200.
So is this new router.
Yeah, that's how I feel about the router.
The router doesn't have a microphone.
It's $269 in Canada.
Canada. All right, let's do a couple Q&A questions and we'll get out of here. Carl wants to know, whatever happened to oleophobic coatings?
Your fingers.
They
your
slipped
fingers
off.
Are what happened to oleophobic coatings?
They slipped away.
Yeah, you rubbed them right off of there.
Friction bores little holes in the oleophobic coatings as you use them for, you know, 3 or 4 months, and then your screen is horrible for the rest of the time that you own your phone.
That's what gives it that weird rainbow look a couple weeks after you get it.
You made it sound like it was Carl's fault. He didn't do it.
Yes, it's everyone's fault. Right. Fingers. Because fingers exist, and because they have oils on them, and they rub away that material, use a stylus for everything, always.
Buy a note.
Buy a note.
Send affiliate money to Russell Holly at...
Russell Stylus fingers.
Let's see. The real differentiator, this comes from Fat Produce. Curious name.
Sure.
The real differentiator between high-end and mid-range smartphones seems to solely be the camera now. How big of a difference between those two ends is there really? And by the way, I'm an LG G4. I wouldn't say it's just the camera.
Definitely not just the camera.
It's not, because even the best... We're going to go out on a limb and say the Note 5 has the best camera. It still doesn't compare at all to a cheap, good digital camera.
And let's go ahead and look at all the people who are ranting and raving about the things that the OnePlus 2 is missing for things that differentiate a low-end or a mid-range phone from a high-end phone. You know, the Qualcomm Quick Charge, especially now, you know, wireless fast charging, NFC. You know, the wireless payment mechanisms that are not just NFC, you know, these are all things that cost a lot of extra money, not just to put in the phone and engineer, but to license the software that goes around it. So, yeah, it's definitely not just the camera. The camera is probably the most user-facing, I would guess.
Yeah, it's the sexiest spec out of all that, I think. I mean, it's funny that the stuff that OnePlus is missing is not anything I would ever miss, I don't think. Just, you know.
I think you would genuinely like the OnePlus 2. I think I may send it to you to get a second opinion.
I like the first one a lot as a phone. That was not my biggest issue with it at all.
The software is actually finished.
I read on the comments that the first one was better. That's why you like it. Because it has NFC, dude.
The only times I ever use NFC on a phone, I never use NFC.
When setting up a phone from another phone?
No, I don't ever do that. Every now and then I'll use it like on a speaker. Just if I'm being lazy.
But NFC accessories. I wish there were more of those.
Yeah, but it's still so easy just to, you know, go into Bluetooth and
search. I have to admit I use an NFC sticker every night to shut the light off in my bedroom.
Yeah.
That's a good
use. What kind of nerd do you have to be to, number one, have some sort of system where NFC tag can shut your light off, and then number two, walk in every night with your phone in your hand instead of hitting the light switch? I mean, I don't think that my use case is all that great.
See, Brian Cantrell, this is a good question. You've said one of the limitations of having an amazing camera processing on a Nexus is that the software is proprietary and licensed. But I read that the new vendor partition present on the Nexus 9 is for device-specific stuff. Could it live there? Sure. You'd still have to license it.
Right.
But then your camera application would no longer be open source, which isn't outside the realm of possibility, but they would have to make a special camera app, and the entire subsystem for, you know, audio and video would be touched. There's more going on when you hit the button to open up the camera than just that application. And while it could be done, I just don't think Google's interested in doing it.
Yeah, gosh, now that I think about it, would the camera app even be allowed to be in the Google Play Store, like for updates at that point?
I don't know.
I'm genuinely not sure about that.
All about the money.
You know how lawyers get when it comes to this stuff, too. So,
yeah.
I mean, and that's something that I looked into. Russell and I had a conversation about this before. And I don't think even most people at Google are 100% complete on all the legal issues surrounding what it takes to buy stuff or lease stuff, license stuff from Sony or Kodak. There's a lot more to it than even we think.
Are you alleging that the lawyers made it complicated so that the lawyers would have to keep explaining it and bill
maybe,
by the hour?
Maybe.
Fat Proto says, seriously, dude, explain the name. The Star Trek Elkar's watch face now needs interactivity features. Yes.
How about the Star Trek Elkar's watch face get a design for the round version that doesn't hurt my eyeballs?
No.
I absolutely love that watch face on the square watches, but on the round watch, it hurts me emotionally.
I just want Russell to be able to interact with that watch face and control his Nest and take care of climate control on the holodeck.
Don't act like I wouldn't every single freaking day.
Russell, Doug wants to know, how severe is the screen brightness throttle on the Asus 64GB ZenPad S8.0 from thermal limiting?
So it knocks it down by 10% every time the error message shows up. But depending on what game you're playing, it can get kind of serious. And Asus has said that they're looking into it, that they finally acknowledged that the bug was actually happening, which is cool. You know, hopefully they can actually do something to resolve that. Most people will only notice this if the screen brightness is completely set to maximum and you play Angry Birds or Vainglory or something crazy for, you know, like, you know, half an hour, then you'll get this message and it'll knock it down by 10%. And then it reevaluates it over the course of, you know, 3 or 4 minutes, and then it decides if it needs to knock it down another 10%. I've yet to see it go below 70% with that error message, so it's one of those things. If you have auto brightness and you're outside, you're going to get this error message pretty constantly, depending on what games you're playing. But if you're inside and you're using auto brightness, it's probably not going to be a huge deal unless you're, you know, playing Vainglory or something like that.
And I didn't get the sense that you thought it was a deal breaker or anything.
No, it was just weirdly irritating. And what was weird about it was that the tablet never felt warm while that was happening. Like, it's, you know, when I play Angry Birds on my Galaxy S6, the little corner on the Galaxy S6, like, it gets hot, like really hot. And I never get any error messages like that. The Asus tablet, you know, it didn't even really feel that warm to the touch when that error message showed up, which was confusing. So I'm hoping that the software is just being overly aggressive about the throttling and they can just tell it to chill out.
Fat Produce is asking a lot of good questions. I'm going to do a couple more. Would you rather have a speaker like the G4 or the Note 5? Well, I guess I'm the only one with both. They're both kind of just there. I don't know. I mean, neither one blows me out of the water. Yeah. Yeah. It, I mean, really nothing quite compares to the HTC still. Also wants to know, does the Pebble Steel Band work well with the LG Watch or Bane? I don't know. I've got an Amazon one on here that I'm not entirely sure I could take off if I wanted to, actually. yeah, it was kind of tough putting it on, and I'm not sure I could take it off. I bet I could if I had to. Brent says those Nat Lowe videos have been great. If you haven't seen it, look at the behind the scenes stuff on the marshmallow things. It was really good. It's cool to hear the Android version is called Tasty Treats, but one of the Googlers still referred to them as desserts in the same video. Well, that's it. Just shut it all down.
Everyone's fired. Yep. Everywhere.
Thanks, Brent. Moises asked, why do you lose LTE on a phone call on Project Fi? I was on T-Mobile. I could be on a call and use data at the same time. It's a very good question.
I haven't even looked at that. I will the next time.
Yeah. I'd forgotten about that until I started using a Verizon phone again. It'd been
a maybe they were on, well, even on Sprint, on LTE, it should be able to on the Nexus.
Time of voice and data? Yeah, it should be possible.
Yeah, on the Nexus, yeah. So I don't know.
It's channelized, so it should be fine.
Right.
Dave wants to know, have you guys ever thought about using Google Calendar so we can track upcoming shows? No, just show up on Friday afternoon. That's what it is.
What kind of anthem?
I thought, do you think maybe he was talking about shows that we would be going to, not this show?
We could. I bet it's still there. Let me see. Go to androidcentral.com/events, I think. And I used to do a whole page on that, and it was kind of cool, and I think it's still there. It's probably like legacy and oh yeah, look at that.
That's what I say.
2011. How about that? And the horrible like, hey, it's dark and I'm on an airplane. Look how far back on the plane I was too. It's a long time ago.
It's a really crappy pick.
Yeah. So I used to do that. I don't know. Should we do that again? We keep up with that.
Why go backwards? The Google Calendar idea is incredibly useful.
Okay, fine.
Make a public Google Calendar that has only, you know, publicly available information.
And that's my concern about it. That's my concern is like, oh crap, I'm going to put some NDA thing on there.
I see your point.
Yeah. Just
don't let Jerry write anything to the calendar.
I mean, at the same time, I have like maps on there, and I remember like worrying about if I put the actual location of where we were going to be because, you know, we don't want to meet the public. That's bad, but. I'm kidding. I love meeting people. Jesus. That's like one of the best parts of this job.
Sounds like it'd be safer just to make a whole new calendar just specifically for that.
So. I think you should just get across the street from Phil with a telescope and follow him around, and you could see where he's going.
I was on a TV in Oregon yesterday, for what that's worth.
That scares me.
Why?
That just scares me. Phil being on TV.
I know, right?
Were you sitting there thinking, don't say something stupid, because I would be the entire time.
No, I say stupid things all the time. You just kind of get used to it. Just let it go after a while. All right, I think that's a good place.
We have to answer Victor Hugo.
Okay.
I mean, I love that name. You have $250. What phone do you buy? I want everybody to answer that. What phone do you buy for $250?
Moto G. Yep.
Yep.
I'm going to say the Zenfone 2. I like the Moto G better, but if I had $250 and that's all I had and can only buy one thing with it, I'd buy the Zenfone 2 because it's quite the little powerhouse in the $250 package. You can do a little more with it.
Intel. Let me tell you something. I hope more manufacturers start taking Intel seriously. I really hope that like this coming year, I know we talked about it a little bit last episode, but a Nexus Intel would be...
Give it to us.
So amazing at this point. I'm so happy with the stuff that is happening with Intel processors and Android. I want more.
Yeah, I kind of wish we'd gone to IDF this week, the Intel developer forum. Just so much going on right now.
Yep. That you can blame me and Andrew because we really looked at that. Do we need to go? And we discussed it back and forth, and then we told you, nah, we can probably skip that. So it's our fault.
So much going on.
We should have went.
right, now we're going to stick a fork in it. I think we're done. That was a good show. Chris, thank you very much for hanging out with us. 90 minutes, guys. Wow. Wow. It's not even counting the ads. Which adds like 3 minutes, maybe. No, Chris, thanks for coming. You're all muted.
I don't want to ruin the podcast.
Ah, no worries. All right, well, we will have Chris back next time we do, if this BlackBerry stuff ever comes official. Until then, go follow us on the Instagrams. I tell you, we're having a lot of fun on Instagram lately. In fact, we're giving away a Note 5. I think you have till the end of the month, actually. I need to go back and look. But giving that away, we'll put the we'll do a GS6 Edge Plus 2 as well. I'll put that up on Monday. So look for that. I'm getting accessories in the store already. ShopAndroid.com. Go there. Jerry Russell, thank you guys. Alex Andrew, hope you had a good day off. Everybody at home, try not to get kicked out of memory too soon.
That was beautiful, Phil. I could just hug you.
Well, what's going on next week? Next week we're here. Yes, next week we're here. In 2 weeks we're in Berlin. It'll get crazy. But, yep, same time next week. Jerry Russell, Chris, thank you. Everybody at home, thank you.
Later.
That outstanding episode of the Android Central podcast was brought to you by Lynda.com. It's the online learning platform with more than 3,000 on-demand video courses to help you strengthen your business, technology, and creative skills. For a free 10-day trial, visit Lynda.com. That's LYNDA.com/AndroidCentral.